People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon introducing you to this week's edition of People of Note and welcoming you. When last did you see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, if ever? A hugely successful musical that's been around forever. And now, Peter Turin and the Leiting Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, LAMTA, are thrilled to present an electrifying new production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the beloved musical masterpiece by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. And their multi-award-winning show, The Amazing Dreamcoat, has been performed hundreds of thousands of times. I think I can safely say all over the world. With me in the studio today is a very integral part of this production. Her name is Amy Campbell, and she's the music director of Joseph. So, Amy, welcome. Welcome. And I say it's a hugely important role, and it must be, because I think you said, as we were chatting just before the interview, that this musical is sung right through. There's no real dialogue as such.
Yes. So Joseph is completely sung through. There is no script. The script is all in the lyrics of the music. And yeah, so we are working really hard to get that story through with all of the singing, because there is a lot of singing.
But the other thing is it's got such well-known songs in it that people will immediately recognize what they are.
Absolutely.
And a touch of nostalgia as well, possibly, hearing those songs.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know when I last hear Any Dream Will Do, which is one of the big hits.
Yeah, it's such beautiful music, and it's the first musical that Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber did together. So nostalgia is very much, you know, a part of Joseph. And we are doing our best to really bring a new, fresh take to the music, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm so excited.
You must be. And you're working with such a nice cast. It's quite it's a young, vibrant cast, isn't it? Just remind me who's playing Joseph, first of all.
So Joseph is played by Dylan Janssen van Rensburg, who is a recent graduate of LAMTA. And then we've got the narrator is played by Lelo Ramasimang, who is honestly one of the best singers I have ever heard in my life. I think at rehearsal the other day, I left the piano and bowed at her feet because she is so, so wonderful. Then we have the electrifying Chris Jafter is playing our Pharaoh.
Famous role, David.
Famous role, absolutely. And he is so great. He just encapsulates Pharaoh in a way that I think everybody is just going to be screaming. He's fantastic.
I wish people could see how you are smiling at the moment, because you're obviously very thrilled by
all
of this.
I mean, the cast is so talented. It's a cast of, I think, 22 people.
It is quite a big cast,
isn't it, actually?
It's a big cast,
including our swings. I think we've got 14 boys and 5 girls, and and then our principals. But it's 12 brothers. I mean, you know, Jacob had 12 sons.
That's right.
And they are young, talented, electrifying young guys. I think people are used to seeing the brothers kind of as older, you know, men with big beards and everything. It's not like that anymore. And they can all sing, they can all dance, they can all act. It is a truly triple threat show.
Is this cast taken mostly from LAMTA?
It is. There are a lot of LAMTA graduates in it, but we also have a lot of new faces in the industry who aren't from LAMTA. We've got some guys from Joburg. We've got Yetu Kibi, who's from the Waterfront Theatre School. Yeah, it's actually quite a good mix, but there are a lot, especially in the boys, there are a lot of LAMTA graduates. And the girls, actually, now that I think about it.
Yes, well, there you go. Just a couple of technical things here. You work for LAMTA, don't you?
I do. I'm one of the vocal coaches LAMTA, yeah. That's okay. My main job.
And the other thing I wanted to, you used a technical term just now where you said swings.
Aha.
And maybe a lot of people might not know what a swing is or a swing captain in these musicals. Can you elaborate a little bit for us?
Sure. So in Joseph, we've got two male swings, Michiel Bester and Jaden Dixon. Then we've got our amazing dance captain, who is the female swing, and her name is Anna Olivier. And what they do is they cover So they learn all the roles of the ensemble cast. So in case somebody breaks something, forbid, or gets ill or something, she or the two boys will be able to come on at a moment's notice and do any of those roles. Oh, okay. So it's quite a thing for the two male swings because they each have six brothers that they cover. Uh-oh. So they need to know all the different harmonies, all the different iterations of the dance moves and of the spacing. It's quite an amazing job and a very hard job to do. You've got to be very, very talented and very, very quick on your feet. And that's something that we pride at Lambda. They are all Lambda students. Yeah, and they are amazing.
So what we talk about is not just understudies, standbys. This is real stuff that they've got to learn in a big way.
Absolutely real stuff. And they learn more than an understudy. They have multiple roles and tracks to do. They are all on stage as well. So you'll see them in some of the bigger dance numbers. So they have their own tracks to learn plus six other tracks to learn.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable what they do. They truly are amazing.
And then there's the music side, because now I also asked you this just before we switched on the microphone. I asked you what the difference was between a music director and someone like Charles, who's doing the
musical supervision.
Musical supervision. Ah, sure. There, that's the trick. That's the difference.
So Charles is the musical supervisor and I'm the musical director. So what Charles has done is he oversees everything and he does all the technical side of things with the click track to help me. I am in the pit every night. You'll see me if you come to Theatre on the Bay, you can wave at me. I'll be in the box. So I am playing piano for some moments in the show. I'm conducting. I'm in the pit every night. And Charles really has overseen it. It's been amazing because we've done everything together and he has taught me so much. It's been such an incredible opportunity for me because Charles was my musical director in 2019 when we did Kinky Boots with the Fugard Theatre. And so when I was asked to do the musical direction for this, it was quite a daunting thing because now we would be on the same side of the table rather than on opposite sides of the table. But Charles is such an incredible human and such a genius. He is just an absolute genius. I want to live in his brain for a day. I really do. And how he has helped bring a freshness to the score is truly amazing. And it's an absolute privilege to work with him.
Okay. Well, there's so much more I want to find about you, Amy. But first of all, your first choice is something from the show, Jacob and Sons.
Yeah.
Tell me about this and what we're going to hear.
So Jacob and Sons is the first ensemble number of the whole show. So it's where we meet Joseph and his brothers and Jacob. And it's the first time we hear harmony in the show, real ensemble harmony. And it just gives you a feeling like, wow, something's about to go down here. And it gives us a really good footing in the story. As you meet all the brothers, you get to see whose characters, who, and their individual spice that they bring.
Yes.
And yeah, and I just think it is where people are going to realize, okay, now we're cooking.
Lived in the
There you are, a taste of music from the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Jacob and Sons. Music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice. They went on, as we know, to make those big hits. I think Jesus Christ Superstar came immediately after this.
That's exactly right.
Then Phantom and all the rest of it. So I'm talking to the music director of this production at Peter Tureen's Theatre on the Bay, Amy Campbell, who is a Cape Town-based vocalist, pianist, arranger, vocal coach, and actress. And I'm going to find out all about you in a moment. But we were talking technically just now about the swing captains and so on. And you've mentioned click tracks.
Yes.
I think I know what that means. But it's also quite a technical thing. Just explain what a click track does.
So a click track is basically a metronome. So if you've ever heard a metronome that goes beep, that keeps an orchestra or a band or a choir or something in time, that is what a click track is. So because Theatre on the Bay is so small and so intimate, which is, it's going to be amazing for Joseph. You're going to feel like you are in Canaan, in Egypt.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't have a full band because the stage is full of amazing people. So there's no space. So most of the music is tracked and with live piano. So what's going to happen is that in my ears, not obviously coming out of the main speakers, there is constantly that little boop, 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 keeping me in time so I can conduct the actors on stage and keep them in time, because the score has so many different musical feels and time signatures and things that change all the time.
Typical of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
In fact, I was sitting practicing while I was waiting to come in here today. There's one that is in 7/8. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. And he does that. 5 in a bar,
oh,
7 in a bar.
Oh, goodness.
And yeah, also changing. It's as simple as something between 3/4 and 4/4.
It's constant. Yeah. And because the actors on stage are dancing and singing and...
So they don't have a click.
They
track.
Don't have a click. I have the click.
Okay.
Helps if I'm conducting the time signature.
Yeah.
So it's for me to keep everybody in time. And there are also a lot of slowing down at the ends of songs that everybody needs to be kept together. And that is what the click track is for. And it's going to be crazy because I've actually never used click track before.
Dear me.
But Charles has promised me that it's not as bad as I think.
Who sets up the click track?
Charles.
He sets it up and decides on the tempi and then feeds it to you and then you conduct.
Yep. He is a technological genius.
You're quite impressed by Charles, I see.
Yeah.
And the members of the band, they don't have click tracks.
No,
it's just you.
It's just me.
And how big is the band?
So because Theatre on the Bay is so small, it's just me. It's
just me
playing piano and then tracks.
Okay.
Tracks, yeah.
Okay. So, which I suppose makes it easier if you're working off a click track just for you to hear it, if there are tracks, pre-recorded tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. It means that I can practice with them and everything as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to be a tricky thing because, as we've said, Andrew Lloyd Webber, he doesn't want to decide on one kind of genre. He wants to do many in one musical, which is what keeps the musical so fresh and exciting.
Yes. And unusual changes harmonically as well in his songs. When you think of the great songs like Music of the Night or from Jesus Christ Superstar, I Don't Know How to Love Him, lovely harmonies. You
so
spoke
beautiful.
About hearing Jacob and Sons when you first hear that. Suddenly you hear some of the rich harmonies that he's included.
Yes, absolutely. And that is something that is very, very close to me because ensemble singing is probably my favorite kind of singing. Teach it, I direct choirs, and it's really something that I love. And so a show like this that has every song has ensemble singing in it, opposed to other musicals where it's just a solo, four solos in a row and then an ensemble number, this is ensemble singing the entire musical, and it's beautiful. It's difficult. You know, everybody thinks that Joseph is, you know, it can
easier.
Yes, it can be done. There are versions that can be done by primary schools. And the full-blown Joseph is one of the most difficult things I think I've ever done.
Wow.
And it's really quite complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast is doing such an amazing job with getting it all together.
Well, the other thing that just struck me is that with a theatre like Theatre on the Bay, as you said, there's no orchestra pit, for example.
No.
So are you, in fact, sitting on stage?
No, I am right in the back of the theatre, in the little, where the lighting box is. So it's tight quarters back there.
So how do they see you on stage?
So there is a little camera and a little TV screen that is at the back of the theatre facing them. They are also facing me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also very small, so they can see my – sometimes if you just put a light there and you have my hands right there conducting, they can see me.
Okay.
And they need to see me.
And I see you doing – Amy's conducting here in the studio.
Yes.
You're conducting a very nice 3-in-a-bar and 4-in-a-bar, like conductors do.
Well, thanks to Charles for that.
Right.
I've been learning a lot about how big and how small to conduct, and I'm practicing almost all the time.
Is this a first for conducting for you?
No, last year, starting in 2023, going over to 2024, we did a production of Spring Awakening, I was also musical director for. So that was my first theatre conducting experience. But I have directed lots of choirs and small ensembles throughout the years. But this is definitely my first real difficult conducting. 3, 4, 4, 4, 7, 8, 6, 8.
Yes.
It's crazy. My brain
any
is...
nines in a bar? Probably no.
No, I don't. I don't think there is nine. A lot of six, a lot of three, a lot of four.
Yeah,
and then
those
the
are
one
the ones.
Sneaky little 7, 8, which plagues me at night.
Oh, shame. Talking about music, we're going to have another track now because I want to find out more about your background, Amy. And I see that you've chosen Take Six, Spread Love. Tell me what we're listening to.
So Spread Love is one of my favorite bits of, again, ensemble singing ever. Take Six has been such an influence on my musical taste throughout my life. My parents are both musicians, and we used to listen to a lot of Take Six when I was younger, especially at Christmas. Their Christmas album is forever on, even now, while I'm 30, almost 33, we still play it at Christmas. Yeah, and it's the first vocal ensemble small group that I ever really remember hearing a CD of, and especially that Take Six Brothers album. It became very, very influential on my ears and how I hear harmonies. Yeah, and I went on to do a lot of small group a cappella singing as well. And so whenever I think of car trips or dinners yes. at home, I hear that album, and it's been very, very influential on me.
I know somebody who declares he's got it made. He won't admit it, but it's just a masquerade. He's a modern day deceiver with a case of falsehood fever. What a shame.
And then there's dear old sister Sarah, ain't she sweet?
Oh yes, she is.
She gets the word next thing you know, it's in the street. By the time it's been repeated, all the truth has been deleted. Oh, what a shame. Another game. Seems like everything we hear is just a tale. I've got something that will never ever fail. It's called
love.
Oh, instead of spreading lies,
spread love.
The truth is no disguise.
I've often said love could open any door.
Oh, but I wish we had much more.
More love is what we need. Da da da.
With a twist and sense of vision, they treat room as a like religion. No one is saying,
but who do bop, but who is
the same? Well, these days it seems like everything we hear is just a tale.
I believe it's something that will take love. Spread love.
Instead of spreading love.
We need
what the world needs now.
I'm telling you, love is what we need.
Love is what we need. What the world needs now.
We need more love.
More love is what we need. Dum. Spread love.
Instead of spreading lies.
Spread.
You know the truth needs no disguise. Open any door.
But we
got more love is what we need. Yeah. Spread love. Da 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 da. Spread love. Da da da.
I've often said love could open any door.
But I wish we had much more.
More love is what we need.
That was a group called Take Six. Spread Love was the title of that song. It was the second choice of my guest on People of Note this week, who is Amy Campbell. And Amy is the music director of this, what sounds to me like a very exciting new production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, a really, really well-known musical that's been around forever, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. And also, it's at Peter Tureen's Theatre on the Bay. Peter Tureen sponsors our program, Fine Music Radio, on Fine Music Radio, People of Note. So, Amy, I wanted to find out about your family. You spoke about both your parents being musicians. Mm-hmm. We know the name Mike Campbell very well. Tell me about your parents and how you got into this whole music world.
Yes. Well, as you said, my father is Mike Campbell. He's a big band director and music arranger, and he was also founded the jazz program at UCT, at the South African College of Music. And my mum was a very good singer. She is still a very good singer. And they had a band together for years and years and years. And so growing up, music was, to me, was my only option. I was around it from such a young age that, yeah, I started playing piano when I was 5, I think.
Wow.
And
that's a good early start.
A very, very early start. Well, I definitely remember at pre-primary, sitting on the edge of my parents' bed with a pamphlet of what I, like, extramurals that I could do after school and how it would work with the timetable and everything. And I remember my mother saying, you can do tennis or you can do piano. I can still remember my father just down the passage. He looked at me, just went, piano. And without that, my life could have been completely different.
Yes.
And it would have been terrible if I had picked tennis, because I am horrible at sports. So it would not
good
have
for
worked.
Your father
it would
whispering.
Not have worked out very, very well. So yeah, so there's just been music around me my whole life. Obviously, a lot of jazz, because that is where my family's roots are in jazz. Yeah, but I also danced my whole life, and so then musical theater sort of crept in.
Oh, right.
Slyly.
The triple threat thing.
Yeah, well, for a while. But when I got to the end of high school, I had a choice to make about what I was going to study. And I think jazz just stole that extra little part of me. And it was a hurdle, because my father became my lecturer at university, which was interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm very grateful for that.
Were you an only child, or?
I am indeed an only child.
So you had all the music to yourself.
I was a lot lumicky, and so, the only child.
Okay. But you obviously, so you went to university mm-hmm. to study music.
Yes.
Mostly jazz.
Yes.
But in the course of studying, you do all the basics of music, don't you?
Absolutely.
Even if you're, as though you're a classical student.
So I did all my classical exams all the way through 5 till 18. So I got my grade 8 piano. And I started singing in high school, and it was interesting because my first instrument at high school was supposed to be piano, and it was piano, but I started singing lessons then after doing Greece in grade 7, where I played Sandy, and then I was like, okay, well, this is it. All I want to do is sing. Yeah, and I became known as the singer more than the piano player by the end of matric. And so when I went on to do my university studies, singing was my first instrument, and then I took piano as a second instrument, but it ended up being a double major in the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how did you discover you had a voice? Just by being enthusiastic and by listening and by wanting to sing?
Yes, I think so. My mom used to sing with me in the car all the time, teaching me little harmony bits. Like, I remember being, I mean, I must have been really young, like 3 or 4, in the car doing that little tiny bit from The Little Mermaid, in harmony, harmony. And then the other harmony was harmony. And then my mom used to do one part and I used to do the other part. And then she was like, okay, let's flip it. And I did the one part and she did the other part. Like,
what
that
a wonderful
in the car
opportunity.
Yeah, my mom is
training
best.
Your ear as well so early.
Yeah, it was really great. And there was just music around all the time. So, yeah, so I did my classical singing exams. In fact, I think I actually finished my grade 8 classical singing while I was doing my first year of university, because I wanted to finish, you know, the Royal Schools exams. I wanted to be absolutely sure that I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm so absolutely grateful for all the classical training that I had, because now being a vocal coach and having to accompany my students, the ability to sight read and give the technical knowledge to my students is
And also
paramount.
To have a good ear. You said you liked ensemble singing.
Yes.
Maybe even close harmony singing, that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Where you need such a good ear when it comes to intonation.
Yes. When I was in, I think, my second year of university, I auditioned for the small group at the South African College of Music, the UCT Jazz Voices, which is soprano 1, soprano 2, alto, tenor, and bass. And I got into that group. So it's one part per singer.
Yeah.
And that is like the New York, I don't know if you're familiar with the New York Voices, the ensemble. We do a lot of their arrangements. And that was led by Amanda Tiffin, who was my lecturer at college, also a massive influence on my life and my musical journey. And that really, if anything, really cemented my ears and my ability to keep one tune going while there are other tunes going on top of you. And it's great now, because now I can sing one part, play another part on the piano, and then listen for the other harmony that might be
But that's a gift. That's a gift that's been nurtured, hasn't it? Because of the background you had.
Absolutely.
Like a simple story, like being with your mother in the car singing that.
Absolutely.
This is now ingrained in you fundamentally.
It is. And I'm so grateful to my parents every single day for that.
And then you got out into the real world and had to start. Well, where did the dancing come from?
So the dancing I did all the way through high school. I went overseas and danced in competitions overseas. I used to dance with Audrey Anderson. And but I knew that my life was going to be music. So when I matriculated, it was onto music. And there just wasn't time. I had to choose something. And so music was the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you and good for us by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
We'll judge you that night at Joseph.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Let's have another of your pieces, Don't Rain on My Parade. This is from Funny Girl, isn't it?
From Funny Girl, yeah. So that was the first musical theater dream of mine, was to sing Don't Rain on My Parade and to do something like that in musical theater. And I had the when DVDs had just come out of Barbara Streisand's, obviously, of her version of Funny Girl. And I just started to fall absolutely in love with musical theater. When I was in grade 10 at school, I was in a production at, I went to Weinberg Girls High School, and we did a combination with the boys' school. We did this review called Broadway Celebrations. And the man who did the music for that, his name is Brian Buerter, also massive big influence on me as a musician and a performer. He brought to life all of this musical theater music, and I fell so in love with Barbara Streisand. And Don't Rain on My Parade.
But what a career and what a voice and what an actress and everything about her.
I think it's that conversation of, if you could have dinner with 5 people, Barbara would probably be at the head of that table.
All right. There's a nice intro to Barbara Streisand. Don't Rain on My Parade.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and flutter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly. I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're alive? I'm out my band.
reflection, a freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder of a shiny apple of its eye.
Barbara Streisand there. That's from Funny Girl, that song Don't Rain on My Parade. And it was another choice of my guest, Amy Campbell. We're discovering about her huge love of music, her influence on music, and her life in music. Amy is the music director of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is about to open at Theatre on the Bay. Amy, one of the questions I was going to ask you was, who was one of your greatest influences voice-wise? But it sounds to me as though you might have said Barbara Streisand. You said she'd be at the top of your table of five best people to have dinner with.
She would be, absolutely. Barbara Streisand is, she's the first voice that I remember thinking, I want to sing like that. That is how I want to sing. There have been others. I do a lot of kind of different singing. And in the jazz sphere, Ella Fitzgerald, I think it sounds like a very obvious answer, but I mean, it just is. I was obsessed with Ella for a long time. Nancy Wilson, I was obsessed with as well as I went through my university. But I must say the people who have had the most influence on me have been the teachers that I've had. My very first teacher, Sureta van Bachen, I've always had a very close relationship with my singing teachers. And I feel like myself as a singing teacher as well, I have a very close relationship with all my students. And it's been so wonderful in Joseph to work with so many of the voices that I help to train. I feel like a mom to 50 people every day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And my jazz coach, Amanda Tiffin. And after university, I carried on doing classical lessons with Hannah van Schalkwyk. And she is also, I call her my guru. And being a singing teacher, it's quite a personal thing because your instrument is in your body. So when you are upset about something or anxious about something, your voice is going to sound different. And so as singing teachers, we get to know our students on such a personal level because I can just see it when my students come in. I say, how are you? And they go, fine.
And then you know this is
And then you know
work.
this is, you know. And I feel like that whenever I'm on a show, I feel like I'm mom and director, but mom still, because mom is strict and that's how my mother was with me, you know.
Yes, mom has to be
mom
strict.
Mom has to be strict, yes. but I really have such a very deep love for each one of my students that come through my door.
Do you teach only jazz vocals?
No, I'm at the moment
classical as well.
At the moment, I'm teaching musical theatre at Lambda. I think I teach voice, so it's a bit of classical technique, but the repertoire is mostly musical theatre,
yes.
Some pop stuff as well, depending on what auditions my kids have. And then I do still teach jazz. I'm the director of the UCT Jazz Voices, which I mentioned earlier, which is cool because I was in that ensemble and now I'm leading that ensemble. And so that is jazz. I did used to lecture at UCT back in 2018, but when Anton and Dwayne phoned me in 2019 and said, what are you doing with your life next year while you're doing Kinky Boots? Are you still going to teach? We can't tell you what it is because at that point they weren't allowed to say that LAMTA was opening. But I just remember the moment so clearly. I was in the middle of Namibia doing a tour of a Gershwin show that I was doing, and in the van, and I just got this message from Anton saying, "What are you doing next year?" I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Do you want to teach for me?" So I just said, "Yes."
This was now before LAMTA had been formed.
This is before LAMTA had been formed. So I had a relationship with Anton and Dwayne before because I coached some kids for Peter Jureen's production of Annie back in 2000, also around 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I had this really good relationship with them. Yeah, and so I just knew. I don't know, something just said, I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to say yes. And thank heavens I did because it changed my life.
And then when it was formed, LAMTA officially, mm-hmm. You were then appointed vocal coach.
Mm-hmm. So I've been
and
there.
And you've never looked back.
Never, ever.
Because apparently that show, Spring Awakening, which I missed, was an absolute blast and really showed off Anton and Dwayne. We must just, for people who may not know, Anton Leighting and Dwayne Alexander are the two that have opened LAMTA, L-A-M-T-A.
That's the one, LAMTA.
Yes. It's LAMTA. I'm trying to think. It's Leighting.
Alexander
Musical Theatre Academy.
That's LAMTA. The one, yeah.
And they are doing so well. And in fact, they are perched right above the Theatre on the Bay, aren't they? They're
indeed
in the same building on the top floor.
Yes, it's the most beautiful building that Peter built for the furthering of musical theatre education in South Africa. And it's gone wild. We have students and graduates in almost every show. We've had amazing leads. Leah Mari just won the Fleur de Cap Award for her performance as Eliza in My Fair Lady. Stuart Brown has just come off doing Dear Evan Hansen as Evan. He's in Joseph with us now, so it's incredible to see how someone like him can go from being a leading man. He played Galileo in the world tour of We'll Rock You as well, to go from being doing an absolutely strictly, you know, acting really emotional show to getting straight into being a brother in Joseph and dancing and singing and having a blast. It's been wonderful to see things like that.
So it's been, it sounds like you're really associated with friends and ex-students and things, which must make working with it all such a big cast so special.
It is. It is. Anything that I do that has come out of being around Anton and Dwayne and the people that they surround themselves with has been incredible for me, and they are just all the best people. And it's like a home away from home, I would say.
Sure. I feel exhausted listening to you. I mean, I meant that as a compliment, by the way, because you are so thrilled with everything that's going on in your life and clearly so blessed. We're going to have another song, and I see you've chosen a song by your dad, Mike Campbell, called Sermon.
Yes. So I think of all the people in my life that have influenced me the most, my dad is number one. And this particular song, Sermon, is one of the most recognized ones of his. But every time I hear this song, I just feel like home, and I feel Cape Town, and I feel jazz, and it feels like a big duvet that covers me when I hear this song. And he really is the most exceptional musician that I've ever met.
Well, there's music by Mike Campbell, that piece called Sermon, and Mike Campbell's daughter, Amy, is my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio. She's the musical director of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay, which opens later this week, in fact. And Amy, there have been all sorts of things you've done. Just looking through your biog, you've done many things. You even joked, presumably you're joking, or you're being serious, about dubbing Indian programs.
No, I'm being 100% serious. Really? If you watched Imli on, oh my goodness, I can't think of the, it's on DSTV, you will, Malini, that is me, that is my voice.
Okay. But you've won South Africa's Got Talent back in 2017 with an a cappella group called Anecnote.
That's the one. Yeah, that was a crazy time in my youth. I sang with Anecnote from 2016 until we all grew up and had babies and and medical degrees and things. But yeah, in 2017, we auditioned for South Africa's Got Talent and we won. It was unbelievable. And Anecnote is we like think of ourselves as the South African version of Pentatonix, who is a famous a cappella group. And they are also some of my closest friends. And
are they still extant? Do they still exist?
We are still available to do gigs if you should want to book Anecnote. We are still available.
Sounded like an ad.
But, but, you know, we all went on to do other things. And yeah, you know, life moves on. And if I could have done that forever, I would have. But yeah, life just moves on.
Yeah. And as you also said, Amy, if you are a freelance person like yourself, you have to take up all sorts of jobs as long as they are opportunities that
yes,
you learn.
Absolutely.
And you've said how much you've learned from, and you've been in a number of shows as well, Tiger Bay, Kinky Boots, Your Song, the music of Elton John, a host of things, TV and radio appearances as well.
It's been a very crazy, very beautiful life so far.
Now, it sounds also as though you're very busy. Do you have a family to contend with as well?
I wouldn't say I contend with them. I'm very, very, very lucky to have the best husband. My husband, Marie Besendach, is also a jazz musician and a music teacher, and he is just the most supportive person on the planet. And I'm so blessed that he is always the first one to say, go for it, never to say, well, but what about the time that you're going to be gone? It's usually me feeling so guilty and I'm going to be gone every night. And he says, he always is just so supportive, and I'm very, very blessed and lucky.
And no children yet?
No children yet, but I have sort of thought about Joseph maybe being the last thing that I do for a little bit, just in case we want to jump on that train.
Oh,
coming
gosh.
Up.
Don't give up too much. Don't give away too much.
Not
just
yet.
At the
no,
moment.
No, not yet.
But the role that you play as vocal coach, that must satisfy a whole lot. For example, you love dancing, you love singing, you love presumably playing the piano.
I love playing the piano.
When you're at home, how do you relax? Do you listen to music? Do you shut off all sound systems? Do you read?
I will be very honest with you, cooking.
Oh, really?
Cooking is my other
therapy.
Love of life. Yeah, my brain absolutely shuts off when I cook, and I love to cook. My parents are both amazing cooks as well, something also I've gotten from both of them, and I just love it. So especially in rehearsal process now, I am meal prepping away on a Sunday to make sure that everyone's got good, healthy, like, meals at the end of the day. It's really important to me to not just get home at 9 o'clock and eat popcorn. So my mother-in-law is also an incredible chef as well, so I'm on WhatsApp with her all the time saying, what do you think this can be frozen, what do you think of this?
And have you got a speciality?
You'd have to ask my husband, but I think I do quite a good Alfredo pasta, I'd say. And the very first thing that I cooked was Gordon Ramsay's beef Wellington when we first moved into our first apartment together. And I had a tiny little Defy oven in our first apartment together. And yeah, if you can read a recipe, you can cook.
That's, I always disagree with. But let's not go there. That's another interview. And by the way, I've always thought that beef Wellington must be incredibly difficult to make. And it's a great favorite of mine.
Oh, good. I'll make it for you one day.
Thank you. Yes. After the success of Joseph.
Yes.
We must end it just before your last song, just to say Amy Campbell has been my guest. Amy is the musical director of what sounds as though it's going to be really a wonderful show, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It opens on the 9th of May at the Theatre on the Bay. So do go along. It sounds it'll be an exhilarating night in the theatre. So, Amy, your last song, Elton John. Oh, but a cover version of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, so this is really special to me because I've always had an affinity for females who play piano and sing. And in 2022, I got the opportunity to sing this song in an Elton John cover show at Theatre on the Bay called Your Song. And it was myself and Anton himself, Anton Leiting, and Tsepo Nkokwane. And it was such a moment of, I can't believe that I'm doing this. After years and years of studying piano and playing piano, I'd never played on a stage, you know, for people other than the I Stedford, maybe. And yeah, I got to do this beautiful version by Sarah Bareilles of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And it was a real turning point in my kind of belief in, oh, okay, I can do this. And I need to stop thinking that I can't do this. And another opportunity that came through Anton, and I'm so grateful for everything that he has afforded me.
You're a happy lass, aren't you?
I'm a happy lass, I am.
It's been great to talk to you. It's been infectious. You've been infectious, making me want to go and see the show now.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to talk to you.
And we end now with Sarah Bareilles singing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Amy Campbell, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.